What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Big Joe Dubin, Brando, Brandon Bixby behind the glass, myself, Dr. Craig, Nick Frazier. And now joining us, Houston's very own, finest, John McClain. John, how are you today, man?
Nick and Joe, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Saw you were out at a practice or two a couple days ago and was sitting next to Gary Kubiak. How was that?
Yeah, it was weird seeing Gary wearing all black. I told him, I said, I'd like to tell you, you look good in black, but you don't. He, of course, was there seeing his son, Clint, who's the new coach for the Raiders. And Gary spends a lot of time, because everybody respects him so much, with the Raiders, with the 49ers, where his second son, Clay, is the offensive coordinator. And I expect to be head coach next year. And his third son, Klein, is in the personnel department with the Cowboys. And I expect him someday to be a general manager. But I think he needs to get away from the Cowboys, because if you follow the Cowboys, you think there's only three people that do all their personnel: Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and Will McClay. You never hear about anybody else. But I was excited to see Fernando Mendoza. I was excited to watch Clint Kubiak with his first head coaching job. Texans suffered a serious loss. Their second-year wide receiver, Jaden Higgins, who is their number two receiver, who throughout the offseason, we've been writing and broadcasting about him being the most improved player on the team. And he was in the back of the end zone. He went down. He clutched his knee. Everybody panicked. But then he got up, walked off, no limp. And then it comes out today he's got a torn ACL. So, anyway, everybody's going to lose players, of course. And that just makes C.J. Stroud's job that much harder.
Yeah, when it comes to that wide receiver room in Houston, John, real quick, you mentioned Jaden Higgins, the ACL there. Obviously, Tank Dell coming back from those multiple injuries he had, last season or season ago?
2 years ago.
How does that all play out now? Like, are they going to go to the market to find a wide receiver, or are they going to kind of roll with what they have?
Well, Tank Dell's not ready. He's been out there, but he hasn't taken part in contact. I think he will start the season on physically unable to perform, because he just hadn't been able to do anything. You can't have him taking up space if he's not going to play. And they have a couple of young receivers, Lewis Bond from Boston College, and they have a veteran who's been on the practice squad a couple of years named Jared Wayne. Those guys have looked real good. But if you're going to be on the roster, you got to be able to play. And I don't think Dell is going to be able to play because he hasn't taken any hits. So what you'll have now, their first game, they'll have Nico Collins, Jalen Knoll, second-year receiver who missed most of camp with a broken finger. He'll be the slot receiver. The other wide will be a guy going into his fourth year, Xavier Hutchinson, and then they'll have to find a fourth one. They have several candidates. But instead of looking for retreads who are out there on the open market because they're mad or they didn't get their money or they're injured, I'd consider finding a team that's going to cut a receiver that you like and offer them a sixth or seventh round draft choice. So that way they get something out of it and find another receiver that way.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to the Tennessee Titans in this case. Obviously, the Titans, it seems like they'll probably hold on to six receivers. And Bryce Oliver, from what we've seen and heard online, seems like he's got that spot. One of the players the Titans signed this past offseason was K.J. Osborne, who's had some opportunities with Minnesota, New England, and even so forth, some other teams. I mean, could that be a potential opportunity for a guy like Nick Cicero to maybe even make a seventh-round trade and or just wait?
I don't know, because if you wait to see who's cut, then you might have four teams. You might claim them, and you're claiming way at the bottom, and a team, claiming higher, like the Raiders. The Raiders have the first pick on waivered players, and that is going to – I told people at this joint practice, going to see a couple of these guys playing on the Raiders roster because their weaknesses are the Texans' strength. And if you give a 6 or 7 for a player, you're guaranteed of getting him. And there's no way you're guaranteed of getting him any other way, especially if you're coming off a good record and you are low on the totem pole for claiming players.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, I know that the Vegas is in town to take on Houston. I've seen the video of Brady walking around there. What do you think Brady's – I know he's like minority owner, but do you think he has just a really strong saying of how this Raiders team is operated?
I think they ask his opinion. Mark Davis, the owner, is smart to stay out of it now. And John Spytek is the general manager. And John Spytek, he was with Gary Kubiak and Clint Kubiak when they won the Super Bowl 50 in Denver. And then Spytek was in Tampa when the Buccaneers won their last Super Bowl with Brady. So Spytek, from everything I'm told, he runs big decisions by Brady and Mark Davis, big ones. He wants to know what Brady thinks about players, as was a smart thing to do. But Brady doesn't say, hey, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. He could say, I think you should do this. It's like a lot of the media, they want to see Fernando Mendoza. They don't want to see Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And one of them was saying, the only way you get better is by playing. I said, well, then how do you explain Brady? Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo, there's all kind of quarterbacks who didn't play right away who were great. And Mahomes played the last game of his rookie year in 17. He won. They liked him enough to trade Alex Smith, and then they won a Super Bowl. So everybody's different. It also depends on who you have on your roster. They've tried to do a good job on rebuilding their offensive line, but they'd be stupid to put Mendoza out there, and it's going to be Clint Kubiak's decision. He's a longtime assistant coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach. When he says the time's right, he will consult them, and then they'll do it. They won't. I don't think it'll be in their bye week. That's late in the year.
Right.
But I would think, and Kirk Cousins has got to know this, Cousins and Kubiak were together 3 years in Minnesota. He knows he's destined to have another team next year. And while he continues to try to be the player that makes more money than any player in history, Matthew Stafford's number one right now. And he's a great team guy. He's a really good mentor for Mendoza. And I liked everything about Mendoza, especially his interview with the press afterward. I listened to the questions. I listened to his answers. I listened to him, the way he dealt with the media. I watched him on the sideline pregame while he was not in the lineup. Just, he's got a great personality, and people gravitate to him. As soon as he walked up to the media, he started cutting up with them. And the first question was about the pick six, and boy, he took the blame. A good quarterback, and this is something Cam Ward needs to know if he doesn't already. It doesn't matter if the receiver ran a terrible route. It doesn't matter if the receiver had the ball right in his hands. Interceptions are one person's fault, and that's it. That is the quarterback. Even if we can see something clearly, he has to take the blame. It'll help him become a leader. His teammates will respect him so much. One that I covered that was better than anybody like that was Warren Moon. Like, one time he had 5 interceptions. 3 of them weren't his fault. And afterward, he was talking about those interceptions his fault. I was like, wait a minute. 3 of them weren't your fault. And yeah, we got in a little argument. He said, yes, they were my fault. You know, I could have put the ball in a better place. And I'm like, yeah, you could have thrown it a half inch better, and it wouldn't have gone in and out of his hands.
Quarterback coach John McClain has a good ring to it, John. I like that with you talking about
I'd
that.
I'd rather be owner John McClain or assistant owner John McClain.
Oh, I like that. We're going to go old school with this, but about Tom Brady. You remember, I grew up on Frank Broyles calling college football games with Keith Jackson. Frank Broyles was the athletic director at Arkansas at the time, right? It just seems crazy with that. And Brady still has this access as a part owner of the Raiders to call these games. If it had been anybody else, John, I don't think they would have gone for it. It still blows my mind that Brady gets that quote-unquote access to the other teams as a commentator on Fox.
Well, first year, you know, he didn't. He had a lot of restrictions. Now, people in the meetings could record everything and send it to him. And Troy Aikman spilled. I thought Aikman did a really stupid thing when he did an interview with Clarence Hill in Dallas about he has inside information for the Dolphins from those meetings. And I'm like, you don't want to advertise it. Now, he's got some restrictions on him. The thing about Brady, I still can't believe, is $375 million. Would he have walked away for $350 if his agent said, well, we want $350 million? Nope, he's not going to do it. Or we'll pay him $30 million a year instead of $37.5. Nope, he's not going to do it. I always wondered how they arrive at those numbers. But in this case, Brady is a great resource, just like Peyton Manning. You know, Peyton would be a great resource. Peyton probably doesn't have time to do that. But if I was a team and I wanted a consultant who'd been a great quarterback, nobody watched more film and tape than Peyton. I'd jump on Peyton, but he might want $475 million because he's a little busy.
Right.
We're on the line with John McClain. We'll have more with him on the other side right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5 The Game. Back here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game, we have on the great John McClain. John, Titans making some news, according to Jordan Schultz, signing a one-year deal with running back D'Ernest Johnson. D'Ernest Johnson having over 1,000 career rushing yards, 50 catches, 400 yards receiving. I'm kind of intrigued by this a little bit because Robert Saleh's kind of talked about Michael Carter and Nick Singleton, their newest draftee, along with Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears. It's a congested running back room. Is this signs of the bat signal going off saying they need help at running back for pass protection, or is this more of just adding more competition to light a fire under a current running back on that roster?
Well, time's running out for that competition. The people that they start in their second preseason game, that's who they're going to be starting in the regular season. The coaches know what they're doing. Could be somebody's nicked up that we don't know about. Could be somebody they're worried about. Could be just somebody they've seen have a good game against one of Saleh's defenses. Bergonzi saw him somewhere. And that's what you do. It doesn't cost any money to do that right now. But it's most of the guys you've seen claim right now are signed are going to be gone in that cutback when they do the big one the week before the season.
Yeah, and adding to that probably a little bit some special teams as well. I mean, obviously you have Bones Fossil as your special teams coordinator. There's definitely these preseason games are meant for those type of moments to make a roster spot from special teams and punt and kickoffs. Another thing I wanted to ask you about is just overall with the Titans. It seems like Robert Saleh is starting to adjust to, you know, this Titans culture, building his own culture. Are you concerned at all by the amount of, I guess, snaps that this offense and defense is getting for the Titans early on in the preseason?
I think that that's to be expected. Anytime you have a new coach and new coordinators, everything is new. They got to experiment. And it's kind of like shuffling a couple of decks of cards. You just have to do it and hope that it comes out the way you want it to when you're drawing. And so I think anything they do right now, there's going to be constant changes made on that team as they look to get the right pieces to fit what they're doing on both sides of the ball and on special teams. And you're right about the running back. Any decision you make on personnel right now, other than obviously quarterback, special teams has to be taken into account.
Yeah, and, you know, going up against Seattle this Sunday night for the Tennessee Titans, that obviously that's a Super Bowl-winning defense. For a rookie quarterback like Cam Ward, you kind of alluded to it last segment, but what do Titans fans need to see from a young quarterback like Cam Ward on Sunday night?
Improvement. You want a noticeable improvement. You want to go, oh, okay, all right, I got it. He's played better than he played in that first game. You don't want to see another one like the first game. But let's be honest. The Titans were really bad last year, and the Seahawks were the best team in the NFL. And the Seahawks, it depends on how Mike McDonald handles it. I'm guessing he's going to put the starters out there for a little bit. And no matter who Ward goes up against, you just want to see progress. You want to see reads. You want to see anticipation, recognizing where a safety has moved, the blitz coming off the slot. hit the hot receiver, assuming the receiver knows he's hot. Just improvement each time he's on the field.
Amen to that. John McClain is with us here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. John, I know it happens every year, but it just seems like more and more injuries in camp. You spoke earlier about Jaden Higgins being out. I mean, Alvin Kamara is out for a month. The Chargers have lost their center now for an indefinite period of time. And on and on and on. We deal with this every year, every training camp. But do you see someday that they're going to pull way back and say, look, we're going to do just on the off the side over here. When game starts, we'll go. I just think there's going to be a point, John, where they'll be like, hey, enough is enough of these injuries. Maybe we should scale back. But then again, I think that's wrong. I don't know what's going to happen with all this.
Nobody knows. D'Amico Ryans is to see what's going to play as starters in this game a little bit. That's what he usually has done. And that's what he told us after the joint practice with the Raiders. But after the Jaden Higgins injury, he's not high. They said they got enough out of the joint practice. And I think you just, you know, you cringe when you, and it's reality. That's not going to be the last, the first, but not going to be the last. But sometimes I think coaches are overly careful. The older players that I talk to are amazed that they didn't have more injuries per capita than the players today do, because everything is so much different. And sometimes it could be the turf. Sometimes it's just bad luck. And I always feel terrible. Injuries, you know, injuries are part of the game. Yes, they are. And usually it's the survival of the fittest, like the Seahawks. They were able to overcome a few injuries last year. And the Super Bowl winner this year is going to have injuries. They just always do. And it's just something, if they get hurt, you hope they come back, or you got somebody they can do a reasonable impersonation. I believe, Joe, there's a study being done by a long time, spearheaded by a long time NFL historian who retired a couple of years ago. And he is trying to come up with something that shows injuries compared to 60s, 70s, and 80s compared to injuries in the 2000s. And since rules are changed, and also back then, I think a lot of players just played hurt. Guys played with concussions. I know that.
Right.
And that's why they were able to stay on the field longer. But in terms of long-time health benefits, that was not good.
I remember Whitey Herzog saying back in the 80s, the reason people are getting hurt because they started eating healthy. And it made me laugh at the time. But then I was like, you know what? Maybe he's got a good point where the guys just, you know, they eat steak and hamburgers and everything. But, look, it's all cyclical. But, you know, you feel terrible. Like, I knew the coach who recruited Jaden Higgins out of high school. Loved that young man. And then when you see that he's out for the season, that just hits you hard and differently like that. And you just feel bad for these guys.
Breakfast of champions used to be the rookies had to go to McDonald's and load up and bring it back, and that was the breakfast. Lunches, you go to some of Burger King and load up. You know, they didn't, some of them, I guess, probably ate healthy, maybe brought their own meals, but it was nothing like it is today. And based on what great shape they're in, all the great medical knowledge they have, the great rehab people they have, and the facilities and the fields and everything, it's amazing how many get hurt.
Yeah, there's, I guess, not that many steak and eggs being handed out from time to time at practice.
No more. You'd get tased if you ate junk like that.
John, when it comes to, you know, the season, everybody kind of gets that itch, like football is finally coming back. You got high school football Friday. You have college football coming back on Saturday next week. And then, obviously, the NFL returns on Sundays for sure. I mean, what are you expecting for the opening week of the NFL, especially the first game was the Rams and 49ers out there in Melbourne, Australia?
High scoring, poor tackling, because teams don't get to practice tackling until they get to camp. By then, most of them don't tackle people to the ground like you do during a game. So I think you'll see that teams will be better at that as the season goes on. And there will be more injuries when we'll go, oh, no, how are they going to overcome that? But somehow they do. Remember the Chargers last year? They lost both starting offensive tackles.
Oh, yeah.
And they still were really good. Now they've lost Biage, and he's down. He may be for the season. Their center for Justin Herbert, he was a big free agent signing. But somehow good coaches, good staffs, good personnel department. They're able to overcome.
Yeah, one more for you, John. When it comes to the officiating in the NFL this upcoming season, there's been a little bit of some inconsistencies throughout the preseason. Should that be some form of concern for the product itself going into week one?
Nick, there's always concern about officiating. First time somebody sees a bad call, oh, they need to hire officials full-time. Those guys spend every waking hour on being NFL officials. If you're a lawyer, you're not going to court or something. You're taking a leave where you can focus. It is really almost counting travel, a seven-day-a-week job, and it wouldn't do anything except get them more money. They make a lot of money now, but, yeah, nobody. Have you ever seen anybody go, man, officiating in the NFL or college football or the NBA, WNBA, umpiring, boy, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't see that often. You're right. John McClain with this from Houston. Before he let you go, John, 63-63 for the American League West, and that looks like a triple crown winner incoming for a guy in Yordan Alvarez.
Boy, you know how to ruin a good show, Nick. You just ruined it. The Astros suck. I'll be out there Friday night sitting on the second row behind home plate because a friend of mine gave me his tickets. And I didn't want to go because I'm so mad at them. The AL stinks. The NL is great. There's probably six or seven teams in the National League better than anything the American League has to offer.
That's all right. Just enjoy a nice nine-inning ball game. No worries about that. We appreciate your time as always, John. We'll talk to you next week.
Megan, Joe, thank you guys very much as always.
Always good to talk to him. Robert Saleh spoke, and he said a few things about a few injured players that I found very interesting.
Ooh.
We'll come back with what Robert Saleh had to say after practice today with the Titans as they get ready for the Seahawks joint practice on Friday and the big game Sunday night over at Nissan Stadium. Back with more right here at Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.